Wake up call.
This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, good Monday to you. It is Wake Up Call Sports Map Radio. Hope you had a very good weekend. I know the world of sports had a very, very busy weekend. The NBA playoffs got rid of its first round once the Los Angeles Clippers took out the Dallas Mavericks. We're now into round two. The Philadelphia 76ers lost their opening game. We'll get to that, what that may or may not mean for Philadelphia in the series. What happened to Dallas? We've also got Julio Jones on the move as he heads to Nashville. The Atlanta Falcons finally pulling the trigger on that deal. Did they get the first round pick? No. Who won and who lost on that trade? And are the Titans now a Super Bowl participation contender in the AFC? I know it's a little weird to say it, but I'll explain that later because I don't think they're going to win the Super Bowl, but they might have really upped their chances with that. Also, golf was in the news this weekend as John Rahm had a 6-shot lead at the Memorial, but had to leave the tournament because he tested positive for COVID-19. The way they told him has been scrutinized. He was walking off the course and all of a sudden, bam, there were some officials telling him, that was it, you tested positive, and he had to go home with a 6-shot lead heading into the final round. Was it the right thing to do? And what ended up happening at the tournament and who was the beneficiary of John Rahm leaving? Also, Brooks Koepka in the news as well as his fans got beer because of their participation in the heckling of Bryson DeChambeau. So much to get to. We're going to unpack all of it, but we're going to start with the Julio Jones trade. The Atlanta Falcons have been wanting to trade Julio Jones. Who was going to be the trading partner was the big question, and were teams willing to pick up the huge contract? What would they give the Falcons in return? The Falcons said that they had somebody on the other line for a first-round pick. That did not happen, and nobody really thought it was going to. But as the Titans' name and started to get kind of bantied about, there was a lot of buzz about what Tennessee would do to get Julio Jones and why they needed Julio Jones. So are they one of the participants for the contention for the Super Bowl? I'll tell you why next as we continue. It is Wake Up Call. Glad you can be with us. Hit us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. It's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.
Listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. Hope you had a pretty good weekend. It is Wake Up Call Sports Map Radio. Hit us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's. Trade up any non-contact thermometer for a $5 rebate towards an Exergen purchased at any retailer. Accuracy matters more than ever when taking temperature, and published research shows non-contact models miss 5 out of 6 fevers. Upgrade to Exergen, the only home forehead thermometer proven accurate by published peer-reviewed clinical studies. Details at Exergen.com. So it became official. Julio Jones is off to Nashville. He'll be part of the Tennessee Titans as the Falcons and Tennessee complete the trade. So this has been a sort of interesting because there was a lot of talk about Julio Jones being on the move because of the money that the Falcons were going to have to pay out, and they weren't really in a position to do so. There was a lot of conversation about whether or not they could rework the deal, but in the end, most people who analyzed this thought that, no, they're not going to redo any deal. They had a chance, they didn't, that they're just going to part ways with them. They're going to see where they could go. There's a new group in. Arthur Smith is the new head coach. Terry Fontenot is the new general manager. This is a big, big contract that they need to release, and they needed to find a trade partner. They toyed with the whole you know, sort of dangling an idea that people are on the phone offering a first round pick. Do you want to get involved in the conversation? Maybe you have a first round pick, but nobody took the bait. Tennessee ends up giving up a second round pick in 2022, a fourth round pick in 2023. They agree to pick up all of the contract money, which is really the key to the deal, because I think that's really what Atlanta was looking for. They would pretty much take a good draft package, but the key was how much money would they be responsible for in this contract. And Tennessee said, "Now we'll got it. We'll take it. And here's the two draft picks." In return, Tennessee also gets a draft pick. They get a sixth round pick in 2023. So where does this leave Tennessee? Does it make them a Super Bowl favorite? Not really. Does it make them a favorite to at least participate in the Super Bowl, winning the AFC? Possibly. And I think that's the key. I'll tell you this. Sometimes you make these trades and immediately people want to know what would be the immediate impact. Well, acquiring Julio Jones doesn't make Tennessee a Super Bowl favorite, but without Julio Jones on their roster or somebody like him, they were not going to go to the Super Bowl. So I don't know if the Titans have championship, you know, in terms of ability here, but I know they would not be close to the Super Bowl unless they figured out their wide receiving core. They lost Corey Davis to the Jets, and they lost Jonnu Smith to the New England Patriots. They've got a very good wide receiver in A.J. Brown, but they really needed a dynamic pass catcher in their offense. This cannot be handing the ball off to Derrick Henry all the time. The defense is going to get better. The defense is looking to improve. But this offense was really predicated on Derrick Henry and something of a passing game that Ryan Tannehill is able to do with the receiving core that he had, again, with Jonnu Smith and Corey Davis and A.J. Brown. And two of those elements are gone. And now you add, when healthy, one of the more dynamic playmakers in the game. Now, I don't know if this puts them over the top. We still live in a world where the AFC is Kansas City good, right? That's where the judgment is. All the teams and any move you make is judged on where you think Kansas City might be. It's a little bit of fool's gold sometimes because teams don't always live up to your expectations. But as long as Patrick Mahomes is in the conference, Kansas City is going to be the favorite to win that conference, at least for the time being. But without a playmaker like Julio Jones, without somebody else on the receiving core, Titans had zero chance of going to the Super Bowl. I think this does put them in the conversation because certain things can happen, how you control the game, how you are able to score, how you're able to respond. And I think this allows Tennessee to do that. I think there's a lot of different ways now that Tennessee's offense can look. So I'm not ready to jump on the, wow, Titans are a team to be reckoned with. I do think, though, that they now can get back to a level where that division may go through them, that the AFC Conference Championship might have them participating in it. It's at least putting them back in the conversation. I never bought the idea that losing those two playmakers, those two wide receivers in Corey Davis and Jonnu Smith, that somehow the Titans, just because they have Derrick Henry running the ball, are going to be okay. I just don't think that was going to happen. I think you can run the ball and be effective running the ball, but you do need that element of being able to throw the ball in certain situations. And the Titans can do that when their wide receiving core is on a good level, and I don't think it was on a good level with the loss of two of those guys. I think that's why they were willing to pick up all the money. I think it's why they were willing to make this trade and be a playing partner with Julio Jones when a lot of teams were kind of scared off in terms of what the deal may cost and the health of Julio Jones. This deal is pending on a physical, so this can be voided if Julio Jones is really more hurt than we anticipate, which people don't think he is, so it's probably going to go through. But that's really the analysis, right? I mean, you find a trade partner, and the Titans had a need, a desperate need at that position. They didn't give away the farm. They got an established player over two draft picks. I think that's always kind of been an adage, right? That if you have a solid, if you're getting a solid player, giving up unknown draft picks is a good deal. Right? Maybe not first rounders, but you certainly can sacrifice a few down the line to get an established player. Julio Jones, when healthy, averages 95.5 yards receiving yards per game. Right? He may have been coming off a bad year, and yes, he is in his 30s, you know, he's 32 years old. But the Titans desperately need a player like him, and I think this is a good deal for both. The Falcons, of course, love it because they ended up in the end getting what they want. We always talk about this with negotiations, right? You may want $7,000 for your car, but you'll take $5,000, right? That's the same thing here. The Falcons were toying with the idea of playing the market to see if anybody would be interested in the first. Of course they did. I mean, they're not going to lowball themselves, right? This is Julio Jones. He's worth a first-round pick. See if anybody bites. But most people didn't. Most people didn't pick up the phone and offer that. But the Titans were going, well, we do have a second, and we give you a fourth in the next year, in 2023, and we'll pick up the money. And for the Falcons, who are looking to either rebuild or go younger, they still don't have an identity. In the end, it's a great bargain for them. And look, here in Nashville, I know people are excited. Where I live, people are thrilled. They were thrilled in the rumor that he was coming, because I think when you have a team that you see a window, and that's the scary part about the NFL sometimes. You don't know when the window is open, and you really don't know when it's going to close. The Titans are starting to see a team that is competitive, really competitive, right? That loss last year to Baltimore was really disappointing because they were coming off an AFC championship appearance the year before. They know they needed a better defense. Their defense was at times had struggled enough. They didn't get enough pressure on the quarterback. And the offense seemed fine, right? So the idea going into this offseason was ramp up the defense. Well, then you lose two receivers, one tight end and a wide receiver to your aerial attack. All of a sudden you're like, well, we're still working on the defense, and now we're losing these two playmakers. We just lost to the Ravens. Are we playoff? Is the window closing? Are we even going to make the playoffs? Julio Jones allows now to say, okay, the offense is now back to being okay. A situation I don't have to worry about. Let's see what they're going to do dialing up the defensive end of the Titans. And with a winnable division here, we should be in good shape. Houston is still a mess. Jacksonville is going to be growing on that team with a new coach and a new young rookie quarterback. Indianapolis is good. We know Indianapolis is going to be, just cruising right along with Carson Wentz and the relationship he has with Frank Reich, but the Titans should be the divisional contenders. And now you make the steal because you're not sacrificing too much. They are going to have to work out some money on the cap. They're going to have to figure out how to pay for this, but it's the right deal for them because in the end, they could not replace those two guys on the offensive side of the ball. Nothing about this trade, though, nothing about this weekend was a shocker. Atlanta was going to trade Julio Jones. They weren't going to get a first-round pick for him. The team that was going to want him was a team that was going to need him and need him badly. All of this played out well. I think both sides win. We've been talking about this with the Falcons. What exactly do they want to be doing in 2021? Are they a team that feels like they're competitive because Matt Ryan is still the quarterback and they still got some good pieces? Or are they a team that is like, well, we got Matt Ryan, but everything else we're working on? A new head coach, Kyle Pitts, right? I mean, we'll just play it that way. Strip some money down, we'll play it that way. I don't know. I don't know what their option is. The division is as open as it's ever going to be when you lose a Hall of Fame quarterback and Drew Brees within your division, even though the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are the Super Bowl champs. But I think both sides win. Whatever the identity is for the Falcons, they don't have the money of Julio Jones weighing them down, and the Titans needed a wide receiver to boost their offense, and they got him. So there you go. It's as simple as that. On Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, that's Ron with two N's. All right, coming up next, the NBA playoffs, the first round finally done. What happened to the Dallas Mavericks, who looked completely in control after winning the first two games? And what a surprise was the Atlanta Hawks in their opening game against Philadelphia. We'll go over those coming up next on Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Again, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. Your thoughts on the Julio Jones trade? NBA playoffs yesterday. I watched this game yesterday because it was raining here in Nashville and I couldn't do anything. But I really wanted to see it because it's a game seven and I love game sevens in the playoffs, especially when there's, the game seven is the home team and they're winning and their excitement and energy. The Clippers pull it off. They beat the Mavericks 126-111.
So disappointing.
The Clippers won four of the final five games in this series.
Right, you know what? And the home team finally won, right?
Home team finally won.
Yeah.
Yep. Home team finally won. This was the whole the Clippers said it from the very beginning. We're not worried. Like, well, you just lost two games at home. Nah, we're good. No, you're not. You're not good. You just lost two games at home. Nah, we're fine. Trust us. And they went on to win the series in seven.
No, we wrote them off.
I did.
Yeah.
I did. I thought
they were done.
Once Luka Doncic looked like he had recovered from his neck strain, I thought Mavericks were going to win that series. And Dallas lost four out of five. Four out of five. Kawhi Leonard is great defensively. He's that was amazing. But what they did was they let Luka do his thing. He scored over 40 points in the game, and then they shut down everybody else. Mavericks need him to get help. They got to get him some help. Don't waste this kid. This kid's amazing. He is fantastic. They called Kristaps Porzingis the unicorn. This kid's the unicorn. He's great.
Don't Mike Trout him.
No.
Better yet, let's do who's Dame Lillard him.
Damian Lillard is a better example because he's rotting away in Portland.
Maybe pair those two up.
Right.
Cuban, make a play for Dame.
They made a run towards the end of the game. They went on like a 13-3 run to close the gap. The Clippers had a nice lead, and the Mavericks made a little bit of a run. But, you know, it was one of those runs that sort of dies out, and it dies out with just enough time remaining to get the other team to pad the lead a little bit. And that's what happened there. I was really impressed with the Atlanta Hawks. People overreact in game ones. They do it all the time. And I never do because I have lived through this my entire NBA youth of watching the Celtics lose an opening round game and going, oh God. And then they would come back and win the series. No problem. So I'm always cautious when people go, oh, well, if Atlanta, the Sixers aren't done. All right. Atlanta had a really, really fantastic basketball game.
But without Joel Embiid, I see the Hawks winning.
Yeah, but but the problem is that, Joel Embiid played 38 minutes and scored 39 points.
True.
So Joel Embiid was on the court and they still won. So Atlanta is, they just shot lights out. They shot they were shooting like 60-something% in the first half. They knocked down 23 pointers. Trae Young was fantastic. He scored 35. But I don't think that this Atlanta team, and they're good, they're spunky, but I don't think they're seven games beating the Sixers at full strength good. If Joel Embiid somehow gets hurt again, then maybe. But Embiid was fine. He was 39-9, I think. So I think it's a good win because you that's all you want, right? If you're the Atlanta Hawks, the only thing you want is a split. It doesn't even matter what happens in game two. You've earned the split. So you got the first game, and you now get home court advantage. We'll see. I think the one thing about yesterday's game was, and I've talked about this a lot, right? The NBA has different layers of stardom, right? There are household name stardom. Then there's everybody in the NBA knows who you are stardom. And then there is, you're a star, but maybe even a lot of markets haven't seen you play. Trae Young is on that kind of level where people know him and they know he's a good player. But I venture to guess most of America has not seen an Atlanta Hawks basketball game in the postseason until either first round or this game yesterday on national TV. There was no reason at all to watch the Atlanta Hawks unless they were playing your team. At all during the first couple of years of his time in Atlanta. They didn't even make the bubble last year. They weren't even invited to make the bubble. So if you live in, Portland, there's no reason to see any Atlanta Hawks games unless you're watching the Blazers play them. So for a lot of America, they probably just box score liked Trae Young, meaning they just kept seeing that he would do some good things and he'd score 30 points or he'd have a double-double or whatever it is that he was doing. But they never got to see him play a game until maybe that series against the Knicks, because the Knicks do carry a level of popularity. And yesterday's game was on national TV, so maybe they snagged it yesterday. But he's great. I mean, he's so fun to watch. He loves the animosity. He loves kind of playing against the crowd, and he was brilliant. I mean, he shot nearly 50% from the floor, and then 49 minutes of basketball carried Atlanta to this victory. Now, he's a guy that will get some help. John Collins helps him out a little bit. Bogdan Bogdanovich helped him out a little bit. Right? So he does get some help on his side. I think the Sixers they let this game get away from them. They were down 20 at halftime. And that's the problem. They got that game down to 3 points. They were down 20 at halftime, and they got that game down to 3 points. If they didn't let Atlanta shoot lights out in the first quarter, because Atlanta put up 42 points, they would have won this game. It's hard to get back in a game when you're down 20 because you're chipping away at it. You're not going on a 20-0 run to get back into it. So you chip away at it, you chip away at it, you chip away at it. And then that's all Philadelphia was doing. They took a lot of threes to try to get back into the game. They were only 10 of 29 from three. Everybody was missing them. And you spend most of your time doing that. Had they kept that game somewhat controllable, didn't let Atlanta escape, they probably would have won. But this could be an interesting series. Because if Atlanta gets to the Eastern Conference Finals, if they beat Philadelphia, I don't think they'll beat either Milwaukee or Brooklyn, but they'll make it tough. They'll be scrappy enough to make it really interesting. But I just could not wait for that game seven. I really was curious of where that was going to go between the Clippers and the Mavericks. I was kind of hoping the Mavericks would pull it off.
I was definitely hoping the Mavericks would pull it off. You can't have Clippers winning and L.A. Lakers already done.
With the Lakers done, no. Steve Ballmer just being his gregarious self, having a good time.
He's already. I heard a rumor Ballmer's already making a move to take down the Laker banners in Staples Center.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, this is our house now.
This is our house now. You're nowhere near us. We're in the postseason. You're done. Yeah, Ballmer. He's excitable billionaire, man. With excitable billionaire.
I mean, what you gonna do? He's as much fun to watch as the product on the court.
We'll
say that. That's the truth.
Now, this is the thing, man. Right? He got a situation where he really desperately, bought this team. And got Kawhi Leonard, got Paul George, and was like, I'm not losing in the first round. I don't have a first-round losing team. I have a team that should be contending for the West. And he does. He really does. He has a team that is as good as any team that's left in the Western Conference. Right? Phoenix, Utah, Denver. They're as good as any of those teams. But they gotta not put themselves in a hole.
No, in fact, they're supposed to be the better of those teams.
Like, yeah, I mean, the Clippers and the Lakers were the two favorite teams in the Western Conference by the books, right? The sports books had them favored. No matter where they were seated, it was okay. As long as they got in the postseason, they were going to be fine.
But, I mean, that was the whole plan, right? When they got Kawhi from Toronto and they brought him to L.A. and then Paul George, there's like, here's the new dynasty in the Western Conference.
That's right. Yeah. Again, it's trying to shake an image, right? He was trying to shake an image. It was probably the most daunting task in sports to buy a team that has an image of a certain thing, and the Clippers were cheap team, no success. Even if they got a little success, it wasn't even close to where the Lakers were. And he was trying to be like, okay, I know it's a Laker town, but I can still win a championship. Yep. I'm not going to be cheap. I'm not going to just be the second run. If you can't afford Laker tickets, you buy my tickets. I want to have a fan base. I'm going to grow it generationally. If I can win a couple championships, maybe that'll help, and I'm going to pay to do it. But when you lose the first two games at home and you're looking up, I didn't give them a chance at all.
I thought they were cooked. Now, I will say this.
Come back and win that series losing the first two games at home. Well, they found a way to do it.
I will say this, though. If they are to win the championship, right, they still need to find their own building.
Oh, yeah.
I think to get their own identity. And maybe winning a championship helps in that. You know, helps grease the palms, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But I think they need to find their own building. They need to find their own area to grow. Maybe it's down in Orange County. I don't know.
It's too long of a task. I mean, I don't know how old Steve Ballmer is, but it's too generational to expect that he'll live to see that happen. It's too embedded. It's too... Again, it goes. We've talked about this before. In other markets that have two teams, there's some sort of geographical reason they exist, right? I mean, there's overriding reason, right? We talk about the Mets and the Yankees and how the Mets drew in the Giant fans and the Dodger fans of that group, that a fan base that was left without a baseball team. We're never going to root for the Yankees. people would rather complain about the Lakers than root for the Clippers' success. I mean, that's
true.
A problem, right?
True.
I mean, they would rather say, the Lakers got to do this and this and this, and they got to fire this guy, and they got to get this guy, and they better get rid of it, than say, oh, let's just sit back and enjoy the Clippers. That's the problem that you have, right, if you're Steve Ballmer, is that you're not going to be able to overcome sort of where people's passions are. And people's passions are with the Lakers, either good or bad.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue along with SportsMap Radio. It is Wake Up Call. On Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. That's how you find the program. All right, Tub of Towels will break down the dirt and sort of the soil and all of the things that you need to get rid of those clean, you know, those messes to make your sparkling clean, whether it's your car, whether it's your appliances, whether it's your outdoor grill or furniture. Tub of Towels will get the job done. And you know what? We've been hearing me say this. They're easy on the hands, and they really are. I used Tub of Towels this weekend, was cleaning up some stuff in the garage. They've got the aloe vera, vitamin E, and lanolin built in to the wipes. So again, tough on messes, gentle on the hands. They break down the bonds that hold dirt and grease to the surface to clean just about anything. I was using it in the garage on some sort of lawn equipment, some like my weed eater and my lawnmower. But you can use it on outdoor furniture, inside on your appliances, outside your car, inside your car, leather, vinyl, metal, and again, lawn and gardening equipment, which was I used it for over the weekend. Grease, oil, tar, paint stains, brake dust, engine grime, ink, glue, wax, food, drink stains, you name it, Tub of Towels can tackle it. And the wipes stay moist in the vapor lock lid. It snaps shut, stays moist, so you get ready to use them whenever you need them. Try squeezing the tub to test its strength. You can find it at O'Reilly, AutoZone, Advance, Napa, Pet Boys. Again, there's Tub of Towels to handle any mess that you can muster up. All right, so the PGA Tour yesterday was at Jack's Tournament, the Memorial. What a scene on Saturday. That is amazing. That the John Rahm finishing, it's six shots ahead of the field Saturday. He comes off the course, and they tell him immediately that he tested positive for the coronavirus and he had to withdraw. And to me, what a terrible place to tell the guy. You know, all the places that the players go to sign their scorecards and to sort of, that you can't do it there.
Right.
They had to tell him immediately. Like, why wouldn't you escort him away and go, all right, he's obviously tested positive for coronavirus, so let's move him off. Let's get him away. Let's get, hey, can you come with us? And put him in a quarantine spot and then say, by the way, you tested positive for the coronavirus.
It was almost like they were patting themselves on the back of, hey, at least no microphones were around.
Yeah, right.
No, I mean, that's the only...
That's no good.
Yeah, it was terrible. A terrible look.
It was a terrible look. Really, really bad. So that left Colin Morikawa and Patrick Cantlay in contention. They played. They went into overtime. They went into extra holes. Patrick Cantlay won. But I can't help thinking that that tournament was John Rahm's, and only because John Rahm got taken out, it almost feels like an afterthought that these two guys were in contention. Look, I'm not taking away the win from Cantlay. I mean, circumstances are circumstances, right? But this was a nightmare for the tour. There was no... This is what they worried about, and this is what they ended up with, right? They ended up with a tournament guy, a guy leading the tournament, having to leave because of COVID. The way they kind of told him with, you know, cameras around, the way he kind of put his head down into his hands and just went, oh, this is awful. I don't know what else. I mean, I don't know who made that decision. I can't believe that was a consensus, that was agreed to upon how to tell him.
That in a year, they haven't figured out how they would do it?
Right. Like, when this occurs, this is how we're going to do it from a public relations standpoint, as a courtesy to the players, all of those things. I have absolutely no idea how that played itself out. Right? I mean, it's nuts. It was nuts. And I felt bad for John Rahm, but he handled it really, really well. I mean, there was one person on Twitter that said maybe, you know, they could have quarantined him and then put him out there by himself, like in the final round. Say, look,
right.
you go by yourself, carry your own bag, or your caddy may be vaccinated. He signs a waiver.
Yeah,
all of those things, whatever.
Because one thing we know for sure, Ron was definitely showing all the symptoms.
Yeah, yeah, right. I mean, he would looked fantastic on Saturday.
Was he like six up on everyone?
Six shots up. He was running away with the field, and they go, "Yeah, COVID. Bye.
COVID. You're done.
COVID."
That's the one thing I keep going back to. Exactly what you said. Why not pull him? I mean, we never see him sign the scorecard.
Yeah.
You know, why not tell him in there? Why not say, "Oh no, you can't go into this room. Come into this room with us. We need to tell you something."
Yeah, we need to tell you something.
I look at it this way: if you learn that there was a death in the family, right, and he was on the golf course while there was a death in the family, would they tell him out on the green?
Right. Would they do that? Exactly. If there was some sort of tragedy that they knew about and that he had to leave, would they just wait for him to just walk off like, "I'm excited," and they go, hey, before you get all happy,
right,
let's just tell you in front of these people in the camera exactly what's going on.
Because honestly, when you see that clip of the video, that's what it looks like somebody told him.
Yeah.
I mean, he immediately went down, he hunched over. I mean, I was glad that it was just COVID.
Yeah.
I mean, to be honest with you, I was like, "God, you know, it sucks," but I'm glad that that's the end result, because the way he went down with, you know, hands on his knees, head, body slouched over, I thought for sure, it's like, "Oh man, he just got some terrible news."
Terrible news.
I mean, it is bad news, but I thought it was, you know, he'll survive it.
I felt terrible.
But yeah, that's the only thing I could think of was, why are you telling him now? Why are you telling him there?
I know. And that was, I just think, again, I don't understand. This is the whole thing. I don't understand the thought process behind it. Like, you're right. They had a whole year to prepare for this scenario. Like, the whole tour, every tournament should have been like, "Okay, our procedure for handling this situation is," and they sit in a room and they discuss it. And then somebody says, "What do you think we should do if we find out a player fails the COVID test when they get off the course?" And somebody goes, "Raise your hand." "Well, I think we should tell them as soon as they walk off the green." And another person is supposed to go, "Nah, I don't know if that's a good idea. It's probably a bad look. We probably should escort them to a place to quarantine and then let them know at that point behind closed doors." Like escort them to a place where they're away from everything and away from everybody, but then let them know then. "Oh, that's a better idea. Yeah, my idea sounded stupid, telling them as soon as they walk off the green. Yeah. That's not going to look good." Those things are supposed to be sorted out in a conference room.
Well,
not,
I mean,
made
not
up as you go.
Not only that, I mean, it's a medical procedure. Isn't there some decorum with that? Like,
right.
You know, like you're supposed to keep everything, you know, patient confidentiality and all that fun stuff.
Right. Unbelievable.
I mean, you had to know, "Hey, if we do this on TV, media is going to be all over the place."
Right. Completely.
Because, I mean, you even watched, like, when John Rahm was walking up, there's a cameraman following him, and then somebody shoves the camera away. It's like, well, what did you expect was going to happen?
Yeah, I know. Right. What did you think was going to take place?
I mean, this guy's getting told in his ear, follow him. You know, go wherever he can go. If you can make it into the room, go into the room. Go into the tunnel. I don't care. Get into a car with him.
I was glad to see a lot of players very upset at the way that was handled. Poor John Rahm.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Well, one other thing that did happen was a lot of fans heckled Bryson DeChambeau this week. So Brooks Koepka gets together with his beer partner, Michelob Ultra, and they're giving away beer to people who got let or taken away and escorted out of off the grounds of the memorial.
I love this.
But wait, do you? Because
I love the fact that the PGA has some controversy like this.
Well, I know,
it's
I
not
do too.
So
but
stuffy.
But I'm a little worried about this. I'm a little. I mean, maybe I'm getting old, but Brooks Koepka is basically saying, "Yeah, if you're rowdy, we got beer for you." Like I wouldn't want to be caught with. Like I don't know what these crazies will do to Bryson DeChambeau going forward, right? Like. I mean, at the next tournament, if somebody yells in his backswing or sort of causes him, and then the guy is expecting beer, like, what happens when some crazies think that this is sort of what Brooks Koepka wants, and they think they're going to get rewarded if they get even more extreme at golf tournaments?
Are you predicting a car to randomly come on the course?
I am
Shooter
looking.
Gavin,
like, I am
someone?
Looking. I am looking to. Okay. I think it's fun. I think it's a great idea for the sponsor. I think Michelob Ultra should be absolutely all over it. But if I'm the PGA Tour, I do want to talk to Brooks Koepka about exactly what are you thinking this is. What is your idea behind this going forward? Like, what do you think will happen? Do you think people will be on their best behavior? You're rewarding them with beer. That's fine. We understand your sponsor tie-in. But what if it affects the competition? Like, what if somebody is willing to get thrown out of a golf tournament because they screamed in his backswing or picked up his ball and threw it in the water or whatever you might do? What if somebody does that and Brooks Koepka's like, yeah, I've been offering free beer to anybody that gets kicked out of tournaments that bothers Bryce? That's basically what this is, right? If you bother Bryson DeChambeau enough to get kicked out of the golf tournament, I'm going to reward you with beer. Now, somebody may go, this is an expensive ticket, but I know there's a lot of people who are like, yeah, but if I get free beer from Brooks Koepka, this is a story for a lifetime. Like, I can, I've gone to this tournament before, or I can go to golf tournaments, but if I get kicked out and Brooks Koepka buys me a case of beer, or I get a big case of beer from Brooks Koepka's promotion, this is a story to tell my buddies forever and ever. If I'm Bryson DeChambeau, I'm like, okay, exactly what can I expect now going forward at every single golf tournament I play in? And what, like, in the end, who are we rooting for here? Like, who's the bad guy and who's the good guy? Is there a villain? Like, Brooks Koepka is not the nicest person in the world.
In fact, I mean, when he's winning tournaments, nobody likes him.
Right. Like, Brooks Koepka is not, like, the good guy here. Like,
and Bryson, then people are just upset with Bryson because he went to the gym.
Yeah, what makes Bryson DeChambeau the bad guy? Like, what did he do? Because he has slow play? The guy gets it over a 400-yard lake. which one of these guys is the innocent, I don't know why they pick on me kind of? I don't know. Like, I don't think that is. Like, I don't know where to go with that. But I will say this, if you're Michelob Ultra, who cares? You're like riding high on this. This is a fantastic promotion for you. This is great. You just ride the Brooks Koepka Bryson DeChambeau train. But I like what you said. I like it from the standpoint, I think this is a good rivalry. These guys are too chummy. You know what I mean? Like, you want some animosity here, right? You want a little fight. You want a little bit of like, hey man, we don't really like each other. Because it feels like all these guys just dig each other. They hang out. They're all happy for each other when they win. It's like, well, if I can't win, I'm glad he won. I don't care. Either one. I don't care. I just want it to be, a little bit of animosity that's real, that's honest, that they guys say to the press, we don't really like each other. Right? But I don't know. Maybe I'm getting a little too old. Maybe in my younger days, I would have been like, yeah, take me to one of those golf tournaments. I'll have a good time and win myself a free case of beer. I'm good.
Yeah, we're going to have people like cardboard cutouts and, noisemakers on the sideline.
Yeah, right.
Around the hole. Guys just sitting there holding up the quiet please sign and like,
No kidding. All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. We'll hit up Twitter next when we continue with Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue along. It is Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's. This hour of Wake Up Call, presented by Rocket Mortgage. You need a mortgage that fits your life? Rocket can. Michael on Twitter. Problem with the Sixers, Doc Rivers took out four of the five starters in the middle of the first half, and the Hawks went on a 17-0 run. Yeah, see, that's a good point. You gotta limit those kind of things, especially in the playoffs, because they come back to haunt you. Look, every game is valuable. Sure, you can be like the Clippers and be overly confident, like, hey, we lost the first two games at home, but don't you worry, we got this. When we get to Dallas, we'll win games. If you're the Sixers, you're still a better team than the Hawks, at least on paper, and if everybody's rolling along, you should win this series. But don't mess with it. Don't toy with it. Don't get cute, because Atlanta's a good enough team to hang with you. And if they steal a game or steal another game or whatever, then you've got a problem on your hands. You do not want to get in a position where you find yourself down 2-1 or 3-1 because you were messing around like that. Yeah, Atlanta was red hot. They went out to a big lead, had a 20-point lead at halftime, and the Sixers spent most of the time in the second half trying to chip away at that. And Atlanta plays a different kind of game when you're up by 20, because you're trying to do some different different things. You're trying to eat some clock. You're trying to get some the right scoring so you can extend the lead. And then you panic a little bit because you're trying to take every single open three you possibly can find. So I think if that 17-0 run had calmed down a little bit and not been an issue for the Sixers and we had a back-and-forth kind of game, I think the Sixers would win. I think the Sixers, you know, are better, at least a better team. But again, Trae Young was magnificent, and he's got help. And I was saying this earlier. That's the difference. This Hawks team will give him the help he needs. And we saw it in the Knicks series. Like, that series should have gone seven games. That Knicks series should have been a classic battle. Knicks were a good team going into the postseason. Yep, they were a little young, and yep, they were, you know, whatnot. But Atlanta's not a postseason experienced team. Like I said, they didn't even make the bubble when they were inviting everybody into the bubble last year. So I'm looking forward to tonight's Phoenix-Denver game. It's, by the way, somebody pointed this out that in the Western Conference, like, Phoenix hasn't won a title, Clippers haven't won a title, Nuggets haven't won a title, Jazz haven't won a title. Like, there's a lot of teams when we get to the championship or the finals, there's going to be, like, a good chance a first-time champion is going to be on the board. All of the sort of teams that have won in the past or been successful in the past are gone. I don't know, again, if it's going to be hugely successful in terms of ratings, but the Nuggets-Phoenix series is really, really compelling when you look inside the numbers and the matchups and how these teams play. Again, would it have been better if it was the Lakers against Golden State? Of course, right? Of course, because we're more nationally, we're more into that kind of storyline. But I think the Nuggets and the Sun series that starts tonight could be really good. We got game two also with the Brooklyn Nets and the Milwaukee Bucks tonight. James Harden will not play. Tightness in his hamstring. I think we've heard that before at some point this season. So that should be a storyline in this series as the Bucks try to even the series up at a game apiece. All right, coming up next hour, we're going to get more into the Julio Jones trade. Teresa Walker, the AP, is going to join us from Nashville. How did the Titans pull this off? Why was it necessary for them to pull it off? We'll also have the good, the bad, and the dumb as we continue on the Monday edition. It's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.